Lord bless you. Praise the name of the Lord. We love him every day, all day, and forever. Shall we commence our service by singing 170, Living Below This Old Sinful World? Living below in this old sinful world. What's going on in the world, that there'd be a lot of people thinking, where could I go but to the Lord? Because there is no place to go. And we know we have assurance that God has everything in control, certainly concerning his loved ones. That's me and you. Let's sing number 300. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Excuse me, I got a tickly throat. Shall we just pray unto our Lord? Heavenly Father, we are such a grateful people. Probably not grateful enough because we don't really know everything that you've done for us, doing for us, and going to do for us. But Lord, we are here. Where's the rest of the city, Lord? Where is the rest of the people that could be here but aren't? That don't know where to come and that don't arrive and haven't yet known who the Lord Jesus Christ is. We pray for those people, Lord. We're not in judgment of them, but we're praying for them. We know, Lord, that you love all of us, Lord, and those in the world as well. You died for the whole world, Lord, when you gave your life on the cross of Calvary. And you took all our sins and all our iniquity and all our letdowns. You took the lot, Lord. But you are waiting, Lord, to receive from us our love to you. That's why we come to church, Lord. We know that you're here waiting to see us. And Lord, we want to give what our heart tells us, that we do love the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, bless the people that listen in at their time of listening. May they be uplifted, encouraged on everything that they're doing towards the things of God. We know, Lord, the time is short. Your coming is so very, very close. And Lord, we just pray that we will receive what you have for us today in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. You love our Lord?
Amen.
Me too. 266. God sent his son. They called him Jesus.
God sent his son.
Thank you.
it says in that chorus, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Yes. You know, as far as we are concerned personally, you don't need to worry about the lightning and the thunder and the floods and the mudslides and the earthquakes and the fires and all of these things. We don't have to worry because God has our holding in his hands. Every one of us, just hold on to him. And you people listening in, you hold on to, because God loves you just as he loves us. Let's sing, There Was a Thirsty Woman, number 257, who was drawing from a well. Her life was ruined and wasted. Her soul was bound for hell. So was mine, until the Lord stepped in and told us that we needed a Savior. Sing it with understanding to our Lord. There was a thirsty woman who was drawing from a well, who was drawing from a well. seems to be a lot of movement in the congregation this morning. Did we have an item that we don't know about? One, two. Okay. Let's sing 220, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds Our Hearts in Christian Love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Be seated, except Pauline, who has an item for us. And just while they're getting ready there, we have meetings over Christmas holidays. A notice on the board out there, so pay to read it. And basically it says from the 23rd of December till the 20th of January, there will only be morning meetings only. And then on Tuesday, the 22nd of January, all services as usual. Got that? If not sure, read the notice. Thank you, Pauline.
My riches gain.
nice. I love that hymn. Very nicely sung by Sister Pauline. I appreciate that very much. Let's sing one all together now. I Hear the Saviour Say, which is a hymn, Jesus. The chorus is, Jesus paid it all. And he certainly did. Shall we stand and sing number 211? And then I'll ask Brother Bill if you bring the prayer requests after this, and also the item if you have an item. I Brother Bill.
Yep. Well, I was really blessed last week just by the promise in God's word in Mark 16, and it said, and he that believed, and these signs shall follow them that believe. And then further down in 18 it says, and they shall lay hands on their sick and they shall recover, on the sick and they shall recover. And just want to testify. So last Sunday we got back home, and after that, we had felt to invite some. We normally have a karaoke at home on a Sunday night, and we had 27 people plus us on our veranda. Our veranda was just groaning under the weight, and we had tea together, and then there were people there who have never been there before that we had felt to invite, and people testified and shared, and the woman I work with, you know, her father had come miraculously to the Lord at a tent meeting in Ruatoria in the late 1960s, and her mother and had made her children kneel down on the kitchen floor and pray for his salvation. And, you know, they, as children, they never thought they would see their father saved, but that woman, Ripika Johnson, she was so faithful, and then the husband just got miraculously saved, along with another, some of you might know Bob Maru, but along with Bob Maru, these two big-time drinkers. And anyway, so the sharing and the testifying and the singing and everything went on. And then at the end, I had just really felt in my spirit, just a real like a pregnant kind of feeling, you know, like something great was going to happen. And I just shared that verse and I just said, is there anyone who would like prayer? And just, like, I think we prayed for five or six people. And four of them had cancer, including our neighbour who's just found out she's got, I don't know what you call it, something, preliminary cancer, whatever that is. Anyway, it was such in one accord, everyone just gathered around on our veranda and we laid hands on these people and we just really felt the Spirit of God move. In fact, our friend Roberta, she said it was like a revival. And the whole week, some people just haven't been able to settle, you know, because of what God had done, and we just really felt that God had answered our prayer. Anyway, I just wanted to share that. And just on some of you, I don't know if you fellas know Jack Swarbrick. He's a real godly old man. He's probably one of the most godly old men that I know. And so we went to pray for him. He's 91 just on the way out, they said. And we just gathered around his bed with his daughter and his niece and just started praying. And we sang some hymns, and he opened his mouth and sang hymns. Everything that comes out of Jack Swarbrick's mouth is God. And he's 91. It was such a blessing. And anyway, then we went down the corridor, and this whole room of four people is all filled with people that we knew. One was Kuru Westrup's son, who we had never met before. He said his name is Kuru. And I said, oh, what's your second name? He said, oh, Kuru Westrup. I said, I know your dad. And a guy from Tolaga, and a guy from Tupuia, and a guy from Rutoria. And, you know, I just remembered the time I went to pray for Norm Pitt one time up in the hospital, and there were four old Pākehā men in the room, and I said, I'm just going to pray for this fellow here. Anyone else like prayer? Wow. You know, I think I've told you, fellas, this. One guy just closed his curtains, one of them. One guy went, shook his head violently, and the other one just picked up his book and put it in front of his face. They did not want prayer. Well, I asked these fellas, the father of these kids from Rutoria, he's a Christian, and they all wanted prayer. And it was such a blessing to be able to pray for them. And then one of our aunties from Rutoria was in the room across the passageway, and we got to pray for her too. And, you know, it was such encouragement just to see people who want prayer and really trusting in the Lord, you know, because they're in desperation. Anyway, and God answers prayer. So we're really looking forward to tonight, what God's going to do in Toko. Okay. So there's all those needs. Have you read these out? You haven't yet, bro. Would you please pray for me that I can visit my friend's church in Oakdale, USA in January to be in a good bride church, but would you please pray that God would block the enemies away, that they will not be able to come around my area while I'm there. Sister Lynn, please remember Pastor Claude Poulter's family and fellowship in Perth, Australia, as the Lord saw fit to take him home to glory this week. Thank you. Sorry, please pray for me not to lose my job in the administration wing to preach the gospel. Thank you, Lee Cross. Please continue to uphold Brother Ross Underwood, who has suffered a stroke. He's trusting God for a total recovery. Well, got to trust God. The middle verse of the Bible says, don't trust in man, trust God. Let's continue to lift up Israel, to keep them and anoint them in all their decision-making and to encourage them, regardless of their enemies. The Bible says, they that bless Israel will be blessed. Just really want to encourage you. Sometime go on YouTube and watch the history of the wars of Israel since they were made a nation in 1948. It's nothing but the sovereign hand of God. Every time he just comes in and just upholds them. And for our many answered prayers. Anyone got an answered prayer this week? Amen. Anyone else? Pete, have you got one? Hallelujah. That's cool. I saw now we're giving you the nudge, the royal nudge. Anyone else? Isn't that great that we serve a living God? Let's just bring all these requests before. Oh, has anyone got any requests for today? Yes? Okay, what's her name? Wendy Lobb. Amen. And may you be used in that situation. Amen, sister. Hallelujah. May I borrow your pen, please? Anyone else? Nornana, you're glowing this morning. Not glittering, glowing with the gospel. Hallelujah. As I came through the back, I just, something different about you this morning, just real glowing. Amen. Hallelujah. Wendy Lobb. Amen. Anyone else? Nico, great to see you in the paper this week, doing great things. Who? Pauline, in the paper. Yep, and being a good minister of the gospel in Riverdale School. Heard great things about Riverdale School at the Bible in Schools wind up on Friday. And June, June's doing a great job of Bible in Schools. Hallelujah. Can I really encourage you, especially you oldies, if you're not doing anything at Bible in Schools time, just attach yourself to a Bible in Schools teacher and go in with them and just be there and pray there. Can I really encourage you to do that? It is such a wonderful ministry. And like Jan, she has Roberta and Waitangi just being there with her. If you've got some spare time, Mel, up your sleeve. You might not be, it might not be your gifting to teach children, but just to be there. In our way, be a nanny for those kids at Riverdale or something. Anyone else? Timmy, you're right? Okay, let's just pray then. Lord, it's just great to testify of how you've answered prayer, Lord. And Lord, you're such a mighty God. You're such a wonderful, wonderful God, and you just care so much for us, Lord. You just want us to cry out to you, because then you see the deep need in our lives for you, that our complete hope and trust is in you, Lord. And so, Lord, we do thank you for the trials that come our way that drive us into you, Lord, that just draw us into you. Because there's nowhere else, just like we said, where else could we go but to the Lord? So we come with, before you this morning, Lord, in expectation and hope, and a fulfillment of your promises, Lord Jesus. And we want to lift up Sister Leah's auntie, Wendy Lobb, Lord, who's just rung her and said she's got cancer and it's gone to her brain. Lord, that's not too hard for you. No, you even made her brain, Lord. And so, Lord Jesus, we just want to pray, Lord, for healing in Wendy Lobb's life. And we want to particularly pray for Leah, that Leah can testify and just share the wonders of God's healing. Lord, we want to thank you for our for Sister June just being faithful, Lord, a faithful witness for you at Waikirikiri School all week, Lord, all year in Bible and Schools and the other Bible and Schools teachers. For Sister Pauline, Lord, just for her testimony at Riverdale School. We know it's a great testimony there, Lord. Even young Nico, just doing that wonderful thing for those kids this week, Lord, being in the paper for that. What a wonderful thing to do, Lord, for a young man to do that. And, Lord, we just want to lift up the request here before us, the person who wants to find that good church, Lord, that you just make the way open. That's Lynn, Lord, for Claude Poulter's family, for his wife and children and grandchildren, and even for his fellowship, Lord, that you would come and just minister to them and strengthen them and uplift them at this time. Lord, for that Lee Cross, Lord, just for their job, Lord Jesus, just hold on to them, Lord. Hold that job for them, Lord, if that's your will, but you may have something better for them, we don't know, Lord. For Ross Underwood, who's doing great, Lord, we just continue to pray that you would strengthen him and uphold him with your mighty right hand. For the nation of Israel, Lord, that you would bless them, Lord. We pray that you would bless them mightily, Lord. Lord, just strengthen them, Lord. Lord, that you would just enlarge their borders, Lord Jesus. Enlarge their territory, Lord Jesus. And that you would just help them, Lord. We know that every nation around them is pitted against them, Lord Jesus. But mighty, mighty is the God of Israel, Lord. And we've seen that for thousands and thousands of years, how you have upheld them, Lord. Lord, we just want to pray, Lord, just for a special blessing over this time. We know sometimes at Christmas it can be a really troublesome time and a difficult time for us, Lord, as we come together with people who are not Christians. Lord, help us to maintain our integrity and our Christian testimony at all times, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And pray for Howard as he brings the message today, Lord. that you would just give him utterance, Lord, and that the wisdom that comes through him, Lord, would be truly the wisdom from God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Is it communion today? Is it a communion today? We do have an afternoon PM service, 1 o'clock. Good to see you there. And we also have a lunch as usual. Thank you, the Hughes girls. It's Dee Dee, Grace and Beulah. Very nice. And I love the message of the song. I must tell Jesus. It was sung enough for us to realize that. Do you know what? We don't have to tell Jesus. He knows all about all our problems, our good points, long before we even get to talk to him. The key thing is that the Lord wants to hear from us. He wants us to tell him what he already knows because he loves us so much. It's like a little child. You know, parents, that people have had kids and the little child comes up, 2-year-old, 3-year-old, to tell you something. And if you're watching the child, you know jolly well what's going to be said or what they want to tell you. But you say, yes, dear. Yes, that's true. I love you. And that's exactly what the Lord wants to do. Why? Because he made both you, me, and the kids. And he knows. Right. We have lunch as usual as well. Let us sing one more. And it's number 210. I will meet you in the morning just inside the eastern gate. Then be ready, faithful pilgrim, lest with you it be too late. It's for us all. Let's take the opportunity to be there together.
I will meet you. Thank you.
You know, there's something once bit better than that, just once more, is if we meet in the cloud in the sky when the Lord comes. So we don't die, we just go as we go. Lord bless you. You may be seated. Thank you, Brother Howard.
Praise to God. Who loves the Lord? I tell you, it's not long to go, and we are going. Patient unto the coming of the Lord. We need to be ready to go, and I pray that He'll grant us that privilege of all being there. I had a little dream last night. I was telling my wife, I was down praying in the dream, and the Lord spoke to me. He started speaking to me, and it's really wonderful. I don't claim it as a spiritual dream, except that I'm really desiring God to speak to me. Because if God speaks to us, we know the will of God. We know exactly what to do, whether He speaks to us audibly or not. It makes no difference. He speaks to our heart. It's just as loud. In fact, it's louder. So that was a quieter thing. And I said to June, I don't remember what he said, but he was just talking to me. No, it wasn't. Just quietly, just speaking to me. And I really appreciate that. Who wants the Lord to speak to you? Oh, I tell you what, one word from Him is worth everything. So may He grant that to us today. May He speak to us today through His Word, because His Word is a real blessing. It's a real blessing, your testimony too, Brother Bill. Just so wonderful to hear those things. I love to hear that. I love to hear about old soldiers of the cross. People who are, they used to say, there goes a man of God. Remember the old days? Lee? Barbara? Mel? When we were older, Peter, we used to say, there goes a man of God. And he was noted not by what things he said so much, as but the glory of God came from him. What he lived. You've heard the saying, don't preach it to me. Live it. And that's what we need to have. So I just thank God. I'm just turning on some air. Praise the Lord. Our services are of a real blessing to people here and afar. Heard this week, I sent you that comment. People hear the service three times. It's such a blessing to them. The one about the Believer's Commission, like you're saying, Brother Bill, just lay hands on them. That's great, brother. May God continue to bless that. So we thank God for the opportunity to come to His Word today. And I just pray that we'll all, something else Brother Bill said, and I hope you don't mind me repeating you, brother, but this is a difficult time. Christmas is the holiday period is a strain on a lot of people. It's not on me personally, but I know some people do get strained with Christmas, and it's really important to hold your testimony. Absolutely. Don't let your testimony drop. There's a great man of God said once, telling his people, don't let your testimony drop. And he's telling it, and this young lady came up and said to the pastor or the preacher, whoever he was, I don't remember his name now, but he said, what do you mean, don't let it drop? He said, don't backslide it. It's a lot harder for you. She said, what do you mean? He said, I'll tell you what it means. It's easy to backslide. He said, you stand up on the chair. Now, he stood up on the chair. And she held his hand, and he said, now pull me off the chair. And he pulled her off the chair, and he came straight down. And then he said, that's backsliding. That's easy. Now, I'm going to get on the ground, and I want you to pull me up onto the chair. Go back to where I was. She couldn't do it. He said, that's why it's a lot harder to go back to where you came from. And brother and sister, I thought that was a very good example. Very good example. Anyone can backslide. You don't have to be a professional. Just slide like that. Just like that. But you try and go back the other way, you've got to really work on it. Really pray to God and help you. And I know you love God. Feel the love of God here, and I thank God for that. You want to be right with the Lord. But you know, the kingdom of God was taken by force, the Bible says. It's taken by force. You've got to press into the kingdom. It's not a time to be laying back and say, oh, well, it'll all come right. No, no. You've got to press in, like the woman touched his garment. She had to press in. If she didn't press between their legs, you say, well, their legs? Yes, that woman got on her knees, and she was climbing between their legs because she couldn't get through the crowd. And then she saw Jesus' garment. She stretched her arm through the legs and touched the border of his garment. And she was healed. Now, if she hadn't have done that, she wouldn't have been healed. So, brother and sister, you've got to press into God. So important to press into the Lord. Amen. To spend time with him. Just say, I'm just going to spend time with God. I'm just going to get out of bed. I don't care if it's 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to slip out and I'm going to pray next to my bed. Do something to get closer to him. They that draw closer to me, he said, if you draw nigh unto me, I'll draw nigh unto you. Praise the Lord. So we go home now. That's the sermon done. It's good though, isn't it? I just love the word of God. Who loves the word of God? Praise be to God. So I just pray that he will bless us today. And I wonder if we could stand for the reading of God's word. It's from John chapter 3, verse 14. The title of my sermon is Look and Live. Two things. You look and you live. I love that. I just think it's so wonderful. John 3:14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. That's great news. For God sent not a son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. They didn't want to be exposed of what they're doing. For everyone that doeth evil hateth light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, and that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. May God bless the reading of his word. Shall we just pray? Lord Jesus, we love you with all our hearts this morning. You're the most precious thing on this world, Lord. Amen. We love your character. We love your spirit. We love everything about you. We want you to be living out of us, Lord, like the men of God are. Lord, they shine forth as beacons to a lost world. I pray, Lord, that you'll continue to speak to us this morning. We just thank you for the privilege of having the Holy Spirit in our hearts to bring these things to light. We pray that you'll speak to everybody here and all those joining with us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So we see here in the beginning, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Now, he wasn't holding a snake in the air. He actually got made a brass pole, a brazen serpent made out of brass. And you've probably seen it. You've probably seen on doctors wear it. Well, they used to. And they'd wear a little badge that had a snake, a pole with a snake serpent going around it. That's where it came from, the Bible. And the brass actually represents divine judgment. And the serpent represents sin. So sin was being judged. We'll get into that a little later. And so we see that it was a perfect type of the Lord, of course. And salvation is to approach today, in my view, in such a complicated way, even by message believers. I say that because I know it. They make it so complex. Who wants to be saved? You can be saved. It's as simple as that. you can be saved. And this is done by very sincere and dedicated people, but they're so complex that they're all like this. Oh, I've got to be saved. I've got to give him that bride. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. No, brothers and sisters, it's not like that. It is not, even though they may be dedicated and they may be sincere people, I want to say it's not of God, that they're struggling, striving with no victory in their life, going around, don't even know whether they're going to go to heaven or not. Everybody in this room, everybody out there must know that you're going to heaven. And the human reasoning and intellect frustrates the grace of God, as Paul says here in Galatians 2:21. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If righteousness comes by you being a good boy or a good girl, and you really working hard and trying to be really good, you're going to be saved, then Jesus Christ went to Calvary for nothing and suffered that horrific death. But we know it's not the case. Turn to Romans 10, verse 2. For I bear them record. Now, watch these words. You know, I love the Bible so good and clear. I love the scripture. I love the English. The English in the King James is beautiful. It says here, for I bear them record that they have a zeal for God. They definitely have a zeal. But not according to knowledge. You can have zeal in the wrong area. Not according to the Bible. They have a zeal, but not according to the Bible. That's what it's speaking of. For they are being ignorant of God's righteousness, not theirs. God's righteousness, being ignorant of it, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. So today we want to start with, thus saith the Lord, from the Bible. We can't go wrong. We say what God has said about it. It's absolutely imperative that we say what God has said. Now, looking unto Jesus to live. In our opening scriptures, I said previously, it's so clear and so simple. Now, we know that the Israelites in the wilderness had gone their own way and disobeyed God. And God sent snakes amongst them. Now, that's not a nice thing. There's 2 million people and mingling amongst them with serpents. And the Bible says that these snakes started biting them and they were poisonous. And they started to feel sick. And some are starting to die. And God and Moses pleaded to God, Lord, we're sorry about this. Lord, help us and save us from this affliction. And so we see that Moses was instructed to do something. And because the world today, let me just say this, has been afflicted by sin. We're living in the most sinful age there ever has been. Really, it's sinful. And brother and sister, we've got to be very careful. We don't get that sin wiping onto us. Because it can. You're mixing with it. You're getting used to it. You're starting to accept things you never accepted before. So we've got to be really careful. Because sin, being afflicted by sin, will bring death to you. The sin will take you straight down to hell. And you'll be lost forever and ever and ever. So this is serious stuff. Watch sin. Don't let it creep into your life. In the most mildest way, it's still sin. So all Israel, all they had to do was to look and to live. To look at what? What did they have to look at? They just looked at the serpent that Moses had made, according to God, that was on a brazen pole, brass pole. Now, my dad always used to say, 2 million people possibly could not even see the pole. It's too far away because the tents and everything stretched out in the wilderness. They had to look by faith. So he used to always say, maybe they could hardly move. They couldn't even stand. And he said, they're lying on the ground. And he said, they just had to, by faith, just look over. And they lived. It's your act of faith towards that brazen serpent that'll save you. It was a perfect shadow of Christ on the pole at Calvary. Perfect shadow. That's exactly what it represents. The brazen, as I said before, the brass represents divine judgment. And the serpent represents our sin being judged and paid for. Hallelujah. Amen. Who's glad your sin has been paid for?
Amen.
Oh, don't you love the Lord Jesus? Say, thank you, Jesus. Let's say it again. Thank you, Jesus. He died for our sins and he paid for our sins. What a Savior. So he says in John 3:14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, Jesus said, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. The Son of Man be lifted up. That was him. He knew it. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. What do you have to do? Just believe in him. Just believe in him. You don't have to fast and pray 40 days and 40 nights. You don't have to run around and do this and do that. Brother and sister, all you need to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Just say, just look and live. Now this has been lost. This is getting lost. As Brother Brandon said one time in the quote, that towards the end, the gospel's going to be preached and be pushing people back to Calvary. The greater, as we get near the end, it's going to be focused more on Calvary than anything else, because that's the only thing that can save you. It's faith in the pole. Faith in the brazen serpent, which was Christ at Calvary. Praise the Lord. And so, not only was our sins judged for, but it's paid for in full, and I praise God for that. Every sin you've ever done in your life has been paid for and forgiven the minute you look to Calvary. The minute you look to that brazen serpent. Who is the brazen serpent? Christ at Calvary. Hallelujah. Giving to everyone that fixes their eye of faith on him. They will receive eternal life. Oh, I love this gospel. People say, oh, you know, brother, you've got to get in the message. Or you've got to study this, or you've got to study that. You've got to be do this and do that. Hold on. Look and live. My brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. That's all you've got to do is believe that he paid it for you. You know, that's why a child can understand this. This is why everyone, the simple people, received him gladly because they had a simple gospel. Just look and live. Really wonderful. Nothing else. You don't have to do anything else. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else can save you but to look to Calvary. Who believes that? That's what he said. Just look and live. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The author and the finisher of our faith. By looking to Christ. He started a work in you. He's going to finish it in him. Hallelujah. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He did have to endure. Don't forget he endured for you. Despising the shame. He was stripped naked. Had to despise that. He did it for you, because he loves you. Despising the shame, he'll sit down on the right hand of the throne of God. And he's there right now making intercession for us. So that is all we have to do, is keep our eyes looking unto Jesus. Our brother wrote to me from America the other day. And he said, oh, brother, he says, I'm having great troubles. People are just seem to be stirring up trouble for me. I'm getting problems here and problems there. So what do you think? I said, I'll tell you what I think. I think you're looking at the wrong thing. You're looking at people instead of Christ. I said, as long as you look at people, you're going to be disappointed because they're full of mistakes. You've got to keep your eyes turned upon Jesus. Look full into his wonderful face. Even Isaiah the prophet, by inspiration, said this in Isaiah 45:21. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from the ancient of time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? There's no God else beside me. A just God and a Savior. We serve a just God and a Savior of our souls. There's none other, none beside me. Look unto me, here in Isaiah, look unto me and be saved. That's all it takes to be saved here today, is to look to Christ. Don't look to the church. Don't look to Brother Branham. Don't look to me. Don't look to anyone else, but look to Christ. All the ends of the earth, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Isn't that wonderful? The mighty Savior, our God and Savior. And God has made the salvation of your soul so simple. It's simple, simple, simple. It's not complex. Oh, I don't think I can get in there. Yes, you can. Jesus Christ paid it for you. He died for you. He took every sin in your life. He bravely went to Calvary for you. Amen. There's no excuse why anybody can't be saved. No excuse whatsoever. No excuse. The devil tries to confuse people into believing that salvation is hopeless. There's no hope for me. Nonsense. God said there is hope for you. And he took your sin and he died for you. The children of Israel didn't have time to argue. Oh, I wonder if it's going to work. Now, how do we know this is true? If I look, and they're dying, they've got minutes left. They looked and lived. God healed them on the spot. And brother and sister, you haven't got time to say, I don't know about this. Just look to Calvary and live. Jesus said, look unto me, all the ends of the earth. It's really wonderful. Look and live. I just love the Word of God. He's the author and finisher of our faith. So we see, it was prophesied, look unto me and be ye saved. That was in Isaiah's days, hundreds of years before Jesus even came, but God knew. There's no excuses. We are all able to be saved. And we haven't got time to fuss. We haven't got time to reason or argue or how can this be. Just look and live. You know, brother and sister, I can preach this to anyone in the world, out on the streets or anywhere, and it still applies. This is the gospel. So they took God at his word and just looked by faith at the pole. And today is no different. Just look to Jesus and be saved. There's a wonderful testimony in the Bible about this very thing. I love this story so much. I really do. It's concerning Paul and Silas. They had been cast into prison for preaching the gospel. And it says in Acts 16, verse 23 to 31, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, that wasn't good, was it? They were beaten. They cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. I would have liked to have been there in that testimony time. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. They must have thought, my, those prisoners have really snapped. They hadn't snapped.
They had a joy. They were saved. And while they were singing, the earth started to shake. A great earthquake. Let's read it.
Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. This earthquake undid the chains. Can you believe that? This is a special earthquake, Brother Bill. It undid the chains. It rocked everything. The walls came down, and every prisoner stayed in there. This was God Almighty. Why? Because the brothers were praising the Lord. And the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out a sword and would have killed himself, because if the prisoners had have escaped, he was put to death. That was just the rules. Under no circumstances would have he lived, because they escaped. So he got the sword. He's going to do himself in right like that. Supposing the prisoners had been fled. And Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in. He was desperate. You need to spring into God, brother and sister. And came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now, this is a wonderful question asked in the Bible many times. This is your question. What must I do to be saved? And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Hallelujah. Who's going to believe for their house? Yep. Amen. Now, that's simple God-dark gospel. He didn't say, "Now, what shall I do to be saved?" Well, what you need to do is get into a good prayer life. You need to study. And he's got a sword here, right? You need to study for, you know, three weeks. And you need to read the Bible. And you need to go down to the temple. He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Amen. Brother and sister, that's all you have to do, here and afar. You've only got to believe on the Lord Jesus. Amen. "And thou shalt be saved and thy house." Wasn't that a beautiful promise? You believe for your house too. The same promise that God gave you is given to your household. You apply the blood of Jesus on your household. It's a token of God. You know, in Israel, when they came out, they put the blood upon the doorposts and lintels. It didn't just save the man to put it up there. It saved all the house that were behind that door. So, brothers and sisters, you believe for your house. What a simple, glorious answer Paul and Silas gave the jailer. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And you know what? That's exactly the same answer today. The same answer he gave them is for us today. You don't have to pass an exam. You don't have to live a perfect life or study and pray. And let me say this, as good as those things are and in their place, they'll never save you. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Isn't this a good gospel, Peter? Don't we love preaching this? It's simple. Little children can understand it in the schools. But you can give them all a Bible to read. You know, she's giving out Bibles because they need to hear the gospel. It's simple. Brother and sister, who believes the Lord? He's the Savior of our souls. It's the same answer we give to everybody. It's nothing special. You don't have to get into the message to hear it. No. To whomsoever will, let him come. As good as they are, we got to. Those things never save you, and they are good. I'm not saying they're not good, I'm not saying we shouldn't do it. But they're not your saving grace. The saving grace is to look to the pole and live. Look to Christ crucified for you. That saves you the minute you believe. I tell you what, when the day comes and you're dying, you may die this afternoon. This will mean everything to you. Is that you looked and lived. What drove Jesus to that pole? What drove him to the pole? Nothing else but divine love for you and me. No Roman put him on the pole. No scribes and Pharisees put Jesus on the pole. Jesus put himself there. The Bible says, he said, I have power to lay my life down, which he did, and I have power to take it again, and he did. Now, brother and sister, if you believe in him, you can go down into the grave and you're coming out again. Isn't that wonderful? Like we said at a funeral some time ago, right here. Might have been Brother Norm, I can't remember who it was. I was standing here and I said, people, one thing we've got to remember, you're all going to come through the box. If God tarries, you're going to have to come through the box. It's not whether you get in the box, it's whether you get out of the box. And the only way you can get out of the box is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Let's say praise the Lord, somebody. Give him glory for his saving grace to us. Yes. God is a loving and saving. He's in the loving and saving business. He's a savior of men, not a condemner. God is not here to condemn you. He's here to save you. He condemns sin, yes, but doesn't condemn the sinner. Wonderful Lord. His love to all mankind put him into action. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, we read, my little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. He doesn't want you to sin. So don't start doing it. Don't even start compromising. You want to hurt the Lord Jesus? Start compromising. If any man sin, we have an advocate. And that advocate means one who will intercede for us. That's the word of advocacy. The one who intercedes for you. With the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation, that means the atoning sacrifice. That's what propitiation means. The atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not ours for ours only, but also for the sins of fellowship. No, or maybe the sins of those who believe the message. No. But also for the sins of the whole world. Jesus died for the sins of the entire world. Glory. Isn't that wonderful? People say, I don't know about me. No, he died for the sins of the whole world. Thus saith the Lord. Don't say he did. He did. Don't say he didn't. He did do it. We just read it. But he also, for the sins of the whole world, he did that. Atoning sacrifice for our sins. It's my sins, your sins, Pauline. Everyone's sins here. Who loves the Lord? Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Hope you can play that, Sister June, later. Oh, don't you love that song? Jesus paid it all. Not paid some. Not paid 90%. Not paid 95% of your sins. He paid for all of your sins. Don't you love him? Let's say praise God. So what can any person do now? All they have to do is believe by looking on the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, and they shall be saved. Satan says, oh, you're not saved. Listen here, Satan. I'm sorry, you're wrong. You're a liar. The Bible tells me that all I have to do is look to him and I will be saved. All the ends of the earth and I will be saved. In John 3:16, we should know this. For God so loved the world. You know, people say, for God so loved the world, he gave his son. I don't say it like that. I like to say it like this. For God so loved the world. He so loved you and I and the people out there, he loved them. Who believes he did? The Bible says he did. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave him that whosoever believeth in him, just believe in him. Just look. should not perish, but have everlasting life. I love this gospel. Boy, what a gospel for the coast. All those precious people up there to hear this, they need to hear this. I'm sure you do. Just tell them the simple gospel. That's what people need. That's what the world needs. They're in desperation. It's that simple. Another scripture says in Romans 10:8, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, brother and sister, we read all through the scriptures, all through Isaiah, everybody's saying the same thing. You're saved by believing on Jesus Christ alone. Nothing else can save you. He's the Savior of the world. He died for the world, died for the sins of the world. Very clear. Thou shalt be saved, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So people come up for prayer, and I've had hundreds. Come for prayer, give their heart to the Lord. They want me to pray for them. I say, You do the praying. This is between you and God, not between me. And God is between you. Oh, I'm here to help you and support you. And so I say, now you just say after me. Lord Jesus, they say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. And Lord, I want to be saved. And Lord, I know that if I believe on you, that you died for me at Calvary, on that cross, that I can be saved. And Lord, I accept this right now by faith in the name of Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, every time Bill and Brill, their mouths go up, they just smile, they glow. It's an amazing thing that takes place. When you believe, God sends a witness to you that he's heard you. So it's very confession. The mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's very important. Isn't that wonderful? Nothing more can you do but believe in him. Now, what if we sin again? Maybe you sin again. Well, maybe you will. Because sin lies in your system. It's going to be dealt with one day. But sin lies in the body, not in the heart. Sin lies in the body, is prone to sinning. And God's going to change all that by giving you a brand new body. Glory! We won't have any of those things worrying us anymore. Just be walking with the King. Who wants to walk with him? Like that song you sing, Sister Merle, I'm on the King's Highway. You know that time you started running around the church up in Auckland? Why? It gives you such a thrill when you think about it. I'm walking with the King. So if we should sin, the Bible says in 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. You're deceiving yourself if you say you have no sin. And the truth is not even in you. If we confess our sins, he, the Lord Jesus, is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from most things. No, it doesn't say that. To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Nowhere does God condemn the sinner. Nowhere. Let us read on John 3:17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. That is not what he came for. Listen, brothers and sisters, not my opinion. This is what God's word says. God sent his Son not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, the world, might be saved. We know not all the world's going to be saved, but we know this, they could be. They really wanted to. And you're in the same boat. And I'm in the same boat. Who wants to receive him? He that believeth on him is not condemned. Because you're looking and you're living.
All those people had those snake bites, and they turned over and they looked. They couldn't even see the pole, but they lived when they did it. Because by faith they look, and by faith we look to Calvary, that Jesus paid it all. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's the only thing that keeps people out, is they refuse to believe in Jesus Christ. Why does it say he is condemned already? Because without believing on the Lord, you are left in your sin. Nothing's changed. You just still stay there. We were sinners to start with. We're born in sin, come to the world speaking lies, the Bible says. So if we do not believe on him, we are left in our sins. You stay right in the bog. Now, God never put you there. You can put yourself in there. You're born in there. You're born in the bog. It's hard to understand why people don't believe on Jesus Christ. It's really hard to understand why people don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Going around putting shots into the arm, trying to get some sort of sensation, some satisfaction. Heading straight for hell. All have to say, Lord, I believe that you died for me. And be set free. Just like that. As simple as that. I'm sorry, it's that simple. If you really believe, God will forgive you. Do you believe him?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So wonderful, isn't it? We believe in him. Except to say the Bible says in John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. If you believe on him, you will not be condemned in the end. Say, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Say it.
I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
And mean from your heart, you will not be condemned in the end. But he that believeth not is condemned already. He just stays in the bog. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. That's our Lord. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Their deeds were evil. They actually held to the sin rather than coming to the light. Whew. May God be merciful. God never condemns any man. They condemn themselves because they refuse to take the way out. It's as simple as that. If he comes down, can I pull you out of the bog? Oh, yes, take me out of the bog. You're free. Can I pull you out of the bog? No, I'm in here and this is where I stay. You'll stay in the bog. You make your own choices. You've all got to give a commitment. You've all got to receive the Lord. You don't come to receive the Lord by just coming to church and just reading your Bible and praying every now and again. You come to him and say, Lord, pull me out of the bog. He said, I already have. Get out in the name of the Lord. I've already taken you out of there. May the Lord be merciful to us. They condemn themselves because they refuse to take the way out. Isn't that amazing? Nothing to do with God. Because, oh, God's got to send me to hell. Nonsense! He went to hell himself for you. He set the captives free. You open the prison doors. And you are free when you believe. Don't bring God into this. It's up to you to receive him. Think about it. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. He has redeemed me and washed me in his precious blood. Do you believe this?
Amen.
Then you're free. The minute you believe, look and live. When they looked at that pole, that's like looking to Calvary. Hallelujah. Oh, I just love them. Who's glad they accepted him?
Amen.
By believing on him. Then we should live for him every day. Rejecting the world and the things of the flesh, which grieve him day by day. What a simple and glorious salvation we have. Let us trust him every day for our salvation and for our healing. Who believes God's healed you? He did exactly the same transaction. When he died at Calvary,
He took all your sin and all the judgment of your sin. And also at the same time, by his stripes, when he is whipped with those cat o' nine tails and he is beaten till his bones stared at him, the Bible says, he took your healing. He gave you a healing for your body. Don't you love the Lord? Isn't he wonderful? Who thinks he's wonderful? He's glorious. We praise him. So they are bought at Calvary at the same time. Let us never deny or doubt him ever again. Thank you, Lord. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. It's recorded in his word, hallelujah, that we only look and live. Oh, isn't he wonderful? Who loves the Lord? Let's stand to our feet, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we come to thee in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior and our healer. And Lord, today we all want to identify ourselves with a brazen serpent on the pole, which was you typing. The Bible says it was representing you at Calvary, Lord, taking all our sin and being judged by God himself. Lord, we just thank you that you took our judgment. You were into a really rough time, Lord, really rough. Lord, how thankful we are to you that you went through with it all and paid the price, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you'll bless every brother and sister here. And Lord, those joining with us, Lord, we thank you that we only have to look and live. For it's recorded in this word, hallelujah, just to look and live. Lord, if we have questioned you, we're doubting, we're condemning ourselves, Lord, we need to go back and have another look. And look and live and say, Lord, I do accept what you've done. I commit this to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. May you bless each one here, we pray, by your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. You got that one there, Nancy? Is it there? I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Crimson. Who knows that? And even science have proved this. If you get a crimson color, you put a crimson color down on a page, and you get a cellophane, red cellophane, which represents the blood of Jesus Christ, and you put the red cellophane over the crimson color, what happens? It becomes white. Have you ever tried that? Oh, you must do this. Show the children. It changes. The red becomes white when you put the red cellophane over it. Glory! Let's say praise the Lord. Jesus paid. Maybe you've had doubts about your salvation. Maybe you haven't. You just seem to be always battling it, and you would like to get just to look and live. Didn't realize all you had to do was just trust in Jesus, that he paid it for you. And you'd like to do that, you can come forward. Anybody sick, he's our healer. He's already healed you. Just say, thank you, Lord, I receive it. Anybody would like prayer, you're welcome to come as we sing this last verse. And when the Lord
Let's sing 134. I see a crimson stream of blood. It flows from Calvary.
I see a crimson stream of blood.
On the pole. Let's sing it again. Praise the Lord.
I see.
He gives us what we want to hear all the time, and we hear it every Sunday morning. But you know, when I was choosing the songs and choruses yesterday, I was in the Only Believe book. This here is the Redemption book, and we already sang Jesus Paid It All this morning. But when I was looking, I was flicking through, just thinking where to go, and I always pray which ones to choose. And I saw it, and I had a witness about it, and flicked it over and carried on, picked another one. And I was just looking back for a third one song, and I came to it again, that one. And behind the song, it starts with the first line that was different, and I had in the brackets, Jesus Paid It All. Now, to me, that was God saying, Lee, that's the one I want you to sing. and then how it chooses it out of the restoration book. You know, that's God for you. Another thing I thought, you know, the brazen image and the serpent on it, and the 2 million-odd people couldn't possibly, not everybody could possibly see it. They just can't. Too far away. Too many people. All of they might have, couldn't get up even. But you know what? I thought about the cross of Calvary. How many of you have seen Calvary? How far away? Thousands of miles away. We can't see it. But we believe it. We believe it. And because of that, we're covered if we keep walking in it. Okay, let us pray. Lord Jesus, we're so very grateful for what we hear. It's not some make-believe. It's not just part of history brought forward for the fact of the story. It's true anyway. We do believe it. And it's something that we need to make sure that we do it for us. It's a decision, not that the family makes, not your husband or your wife. It's you, whoever you is. That's your decision. And the one that's listening is the Lord Jesus Christ. We're so very, very grateful, Lord. In my case, being for many years, and I'm very grateful for it and still am, and I'm just waiting for your return. Lord, just bless us as we have our luncheon there over at the hall, Lord, there. And we say thank you for providing it and for the fellowship that we have. Be with us, Lord, in the afternoon meeting at 1 p.m. And we thank you for all that. Just bless these people, Lord, in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. You are dismissed.